If Jimmy Carter is elected president in November, he will have the support of united groups dedicated to pushing the unemployment rate down to 3%. Business Week magazine said, it said that for the first time in years, the president, if he is Carter, will have the united support of organized labor, blacks, northern liberals, church groups, and even the environmentalists. Kojak, Bob Hope, and Lobster. Big welcome awaiting Queen in Washington. Queen Elizabeth II of Great Britain is traveling here for the most important stop on a six-day visit to the nation that rejected the colonial rule of her royal ancestor 200 years ago. Accompanied by her husband, Prince Philip, an official party of 16 and an entourage of 52, the Queen was flying here Wednesday from Philadelphia to an elaborate White House welcoming ceremony. In tribute to the country that rebelled against her great-great-great-great-grandfather, King George III, the monarch told a gathering in Philadelphia on Tuesday that the American Revolution should be celebrated as much in Britain as in the United States. The very valuable lesson the British learned from their experience, she said, was that the rights of others to govern themselves in their own ways must be respected. The occasion for her remarks was the presentation of a bicentennial gift, a bell cast in the same foundry as Philadelphia's famed cracked Liberty Bell. Elizabeth, whose bloodline goes back 9 centuries, is the last of 9 European monarchs to visit the United States for the bicentennial, and she probably has generated the most excitement here. As one United States official said, even though her reign was coincided with a precipitous decline in British power, there's still no royalty quite like British royalty. For the Queen, who was born 2 months before the United States' 150th birthday, it will be her first visit to Washington in 19 years. Hundreds of British officials have spent thousands of hours arranging every detail of her trip. After the welcoming ceremony on the White House lawn Wednesday, a private luncheon with Prince Philip and President and Mrs. Ford was scheduled. The Queen also was scheduled to lay a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier, visit the Lincoln Memorial, receive media correspondence at the British Embassy, and dine on New England lobster as Ford's guest at the White House. About 200 persons are invited to the white tie dinner, including Telly Savalas, star of Kojak, a favorite television show of the Queen. The dinner will be held under white canopies in the Rose Garden, and entertainment later on will be provided by British-born comedian Bob Hope in the White House East Ballroom.
All right, now have you noticed that when he spoke here of Carter, it emphasized the fact that he would have the support of the organized labor, the blacks, the northern liberals, the church groups, and even the environmentalists. That he would have all of this support if it was Carter. Isn't that right? Didn't say Reagan's or anybody else would get it if it's Carter. So that's fitting the bill just right, isn't it? No other president, they said, had ever got that. All right? Now, that proves something's happening. It proves more than just a confirmation to what I said would happen. Because as in heaven, so in earth, if the spirit of truth, and apparently it is the spirit of truth. Now a lot of folks would love to call it something else and wind up blaspheming the Holy Ghost. But if it is the spirit of truth, then it will come out truth. It came out truth, didn't it? So it had to be the spirit of truth speaking. All right, now, Jesus said when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Now, so then it is truth. It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. It is spoken, and it has come to pass exactly like the Lord said. It's no little wonder to me that the Queen would come over right at this time, 200 years, and then the Queen comes. Some of you perhaps don't remember it, but I made the statement. I said, the last president, you remember who he was? I said, after that, it'd be a monarch. And sure enough, he went in and boasted that nobody elected him in and following right on through. Everything's just right. If it's going to be a king, it's got to be a queen. Everything's coming right on in. I said, go under kingship. She's moving right on in. Everything just exactly the way the Lord said. 200 years, the government's over, and the queen's come to pick up our country. You follow me? See, it was back there under King George then, and the 200 years is over. Something is happening. Washington, it really never escaped King George. It only went on to George Washington, just to carry over. So then there was something that was to happen, and it's happening. Now, I've got a lot of things that I'd like to say tonight, and I hope that I'll get a chance to say some of them. I want to thank you for letting me finish my sermon the other night. On the first night, you died out on me, and I had to just about quit in the middle of the stream. But the next night, you let me complete my thoughts, and I appreciate it. So I ask you tonight, when the sparks start dying down, we'll start fanning. Keep them alive. You know, Paul, being long preaching, the Bible said that feller fell down, was taken up dead, and had to fan the sparks. So, you will bear with me tonight. I don't know that I'll be able to say anything, you know, of interest to you. Some of you, there wouldn't be nothing I could say of interest. But anyway, I hope to be able to say something to some of you. All right, the book of Joel. I want to read just a little bit. I want you to listen because I want to read a good little bit here. I say again, I would have ordinarily got somebody to preach tonight. This has been an unusual camp meeting. And I would ordinarily have got somebody to preach. I preached the first couple of nights because the Lord showed me a vision. And in the vision, I was letting different ministers preach. And they were coming one after another. And I waited until they got through. And I said, Lord, just as quick as they get through, I'll preach. And I let them come one after another. And when I finally come time to preach, God was upset with me because I had let him do that. So I purpose in my heart, I'd try my best to please him. All right, the devil's here, ain't he? You can tell the short circuit's already working. All right, now, in the book of Joel, I want to read to you. And I want you to listen real careful. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are as the teeth of a lion. And he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priest, the Lord's ministers mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth. For the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languishes. Be ye ashamed, all ye husbandmen. Howl, all ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up and the fig tree languishes, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Girt yourself and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, the barns are broken down. For the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burnt all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it. Even to the years of many generations, a fire devoureth before them, behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and the horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their faces the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his way. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren, and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hind part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth their fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil, And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the pommel worm. My great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. Pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, you know, speaking of the Lord sending the latter rain, I made the statement that I felt that during this meeting that the seed that had not sprang forth would come up during this meeting, that the rain would come and the seed would come up. And sure enough, I was looking around today, and the seed, the grass has jumped up out of the ground so beautifully. All flesh is as grass. God's bringing forth a new crop. The plow the other under died. That's right. We planted it one time, it died. But now the second crop is coming forth. The elders died in the wilderness because they murmured and grumbled against Moses. Withstood him. Corrupt men withstood him. And because of that, God cut him off in the wilderness. So to reprobate men still withstand the things of God today. Jannes and Jambres. Now, the Lord said here that he would send his mighty army. The mighty army of God in what Joel is prophesying means that which will come out of the bottomless pit in tribulation. When the locusts come upon the earth, those locusts that come up out of the earth during the tribulation are symbolic of the spirits, our spiritual locusts that has consumed during the dark age of the Roman powers in taking away the church. But in the tribulation, the real thing will come in the natural. Those spirits will take a personification. And that great army that God speaks of will be those locusts and those evil powers that will come and devour the fruits, devour the earth. The day shall be dark. All of those horrible things shall take place as this great army of God moves over the earth. I know there's a great army of God that is the spiritual. Those that are of God, and they're found here in the scripture, that will be God's people coming together. But this is the locust that he is speaking of that will come over the earth. And these powers shall utterly devour the earth. And all of the horrors that can come from suffering will be felt. It's like a brother speaking this morning, science perfecting something to where you can't die, keeping you alive in your misery. The Bible said in the tribulation period, men shall seek death. And death shall flee from them. They'll not be able to die, but they'll want to die. And so it is here. God is giving us prophecy of the end time and of these great things that is going to take place. But I like the part where he said, it shall come to pass that there shall be a restoration. After the great tribulation period, there will be a restoring of the garden. That garden will be restored to the millennium, and there will be great things that we will have in the millennium. A great age we'll have after the locusts have been destroyed. So then we see a great thing happening. Here in this meeting, this is a great hour. Something great and outstanding is taking place. It is not coincidental that at this time Jimmy Carter has risen up in Georgia. I've made that statement a number of times from the pulpit. Because we predicted that the government would leave Washington and move to Atlanta, Georgia. Some laughed about it, some mocked. But you've got to remember one thing. If a president from Georgia goes into the White House, it says it was in the days of Moses, the Ark of the Covenant wasn't down there in that little tent. It was inside of Moses. It's not Washington in the White House that's ruling. It will be Jimmy Carter. If it's Jimmy Carter, then Jimmy Carter is a Georgian. So then that puts Georgia in the lead. And I also made the statement, I said, Georgia will be sustained when the others fall prey to it. It stands to reason that if the president has control of the money, that he's going to look after his home state. So then everything is shaping up just exactly the way that we have spoken. Things is moving in and moving in fast. But there's more to it than just a prediction or something coming to pass. Little Bethlehem here, that seems to be a little insignificant thing. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that one little old place over here on the back side of nowhere is all of that important, do you? Well, there was a man out on the back side of the desert called Moses. Egypt wasn't near as important as he was. And I saw those stars gathered to one side of heaven in the vision. Now, I'm saying this. It isn't that little Bethlehem is here unnoticed by the world. That isn't it. Because from little Bethlehem, we have clashed with the police. And there's a reputation among the law. From little Bethlehem, we have contacted the senators and there's a reputation among the senators. From little Bethlehem, we have stood the governmental powers over in Kentucky. They're at that great base that they have and won out over them. When they said we couldn't, we did. And from little Bethlehem, we have received letters from different parts of the world and of the nation and of the people. Even men like Pat Boone, the movie star, wrote telling how that God has gripped his heart through the preaching of the little glass slipper. It's not that it's a little place on the backside of nowhere. The place has gained a great reputation. Already, the message going out is in about 14 to 15 different languages. I don't notice how many. And moving on toward about 30, the way everything is shaping up. So it isn't that it is a little thing. God is doing a big thing. It started with a little thing, a borrowed pick over here on the backside of nowhere. But God has blessed it and it has grown up. The Bible said the little stone that was hewed out of the mountain kept growing until it filled all of the earth. Hallelujah. And so the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming forth. Now then it said in the days of the 10 toes. It was in the time of the 10 toes that this little stone was hewed out of the mountain. That's what we need to remember, folks. It wasn't that it was hewed out at another time, but the Bible said in the days of the 10 toes, this was when it was hewed out of the mountain. Hallelujah. In the time of the 10 toes, it was hewed out of the mountain. So then, the 10 toes is the last part of the great image. Isn't that right? And we see it coming forth in the powers of the confederation of the 10 or the common market nations over in Europe. It was over there in Europe not too long ago, going by the common market buildings, and it's a big thing. It's despised by some already. But from what they explained, I talked to one of the authorities, and from the things that they explained to me, it absolutely will swallow up humanity. Because the things that they spoke to me about is so outstanding for the poor man until he won't have the power to resist it. Alright, so then it was in the days of the 10 toes. That was when the stone was hewed out of the mountain. You can say that God's going to move by a message. God's going to move by the charismatic. God's going to move by this and God's going to move by that. But I want to tell you one thing. The stone that was hewed out of the mountain is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what John called it and that's what it is. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It will grow until it fills all of the earth. Somebody would say, well, now's a chance to see if you're a false prophet. I hope you'll keep watching
look real close, because if it doesn't grow till it fills all the earth, then I am a false prophet. Hallelujah. I know as of late there's some of them that keeps talking about me being a false prophet. They just like to harp on that, you know. They wanted to kill Joseph because it was jealous of him. He had an interpretation of a dream and wanted to kill him. When God gives you an interpretation, everybody wants to kill you. Come on, folks, that's right. They despised David because God was using David. Is that right? So then God is doing something. That great stone was hewed out of the mountain. I notice that people keep saying that we're a false prophet. Our little brother from down in Florida came from over there where Brother Ned Iverson and different ones was, and he told me, he said, they say you're a false prophet. He said, I come down here to see. He holds a church up there with him. I come over to see. Brother Branham Fowler, a good fella. I talked with him. He said he found it to be a lie. So then, there's one thing about it. Their testimonies don't agree together. Hallelujah. You say, why is that? Because they say they don't believe I'm a prophet. And then they turn around and tell somebody I am a prophet. So you can't tell what they say. Do they believe I'm a prophet or do they believe I'm not a prophet? Somebody said, well, you could call a man a false prophet. Anybody could be a false prophet. No, it takes a prophet to be a false prophet. Anybody can't be a false prophet. So then their testimonies don't agree together. Either I'm a prophet or I'm not a prophet. Come on, folks. Let's get together on what we're saying. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Hallelujah. So then we're one or the other. All right, now, I thank God because I see this restoration coming. And this meeting shows forth the restoration of this great thing that's taking place. And if the Lord moves us on into it tonight, I got a whole lot of things concerning some present day happenings that I'd like to speak about, some things that's already happened here in the last night or two. Perhaps some of you seen it, perhaps you haven't. But if the atmosphere gets right and you get hungry and thirsty, then I hope to be able to say something about it tonight. Because it is the prophecy of the end time. It says in the last days. How do you like that? Says in the last days. Thank you, brother. Says in the last days that these things will happen. The latter times, it says that in the last days I will pour out of my spirit, saith God, upon all flesh. That's the drunkard. That's the liar. That's the harlot. That's the Baptist. That's the Methodist. That's the Presbyterian. That's the Catholic. Upon all flesh. And during the time that God is pouring out of His Spirit upon all flesh, that is the hour when it shall be so closed it will deceive the very elect if it was possible. Because while grace is in the land, anybody can shout and speak in tongues. While grace is in the land, anybody can prophesy. Saul went up to Ramoth Gilead to kill David and murder in his heart. But when he got in the presence of those prophets up there, the Spirit of God came down and he prophesied. And they thought he was among the prophets. Balaam went over there to get him a good salary from Balak. Got over there and the Spirit of God came on him and he prophesied. Isn't that right? So then God creates the good. God creates the evil. He has his way in both. Works all things after the counsel of his own will. If a person rise up to the contrary part like Pharaoh did, who did it? God. See, the Bible said, they that are abhorred to the Lord shall fall in the ditch of the great whore. What is the great whore? It's the flesh and the carnal mind. So then when they get abhorred to the Lord, God will cause them to fall into that ditch. Because he despises them. Said, I'll despise your image in the morning. Why is that? Because it will be the image of the beast. It'll be a bastard child. It won't be born to the word, the will of God, but it'll be from that first birth back there with Adam. And God said, I'll despise that image. But we've got to have the nature of Jesus Christ. When the Spirit of the Lord comes down in the end time, what is it for? It is to make us anew into the things of God and bring us out into the great image of our God. For the nature brings forth the image. And we are partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many believe that? Hallelujah. So I see something happen. This great Spirit, while it's poured out, you can't tell one from another. because the grace of God is there. Everybody's dancing. Everybody's having a good time. As it's been said, the tares enjoying the water. The wheat's enjoying the water. But we just keep on watching until finally the harvest comes. And then every seed will produce according to the harvest. Is that right? According to the nature, so shall the harvest be. And then the Bible said that in the end of the world, God will send forth the angels, and he shall sever among them, cut them all down, divide the wheat from the tares, gather the tares into bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat into the garners of God. All right? So then, for us, it's happy days. Hallelujah. I thought it was fitting. Brother JT coming over at this time, the place that God uses him in Revelation when the tent came over and set out here having to do with the changeover to the new world, in that he was numbered with Brother Branham during that great time and great crusade in the earth, and the Lord spoke to him saying, my servant Moses is dead. And so then in the coming over, I understand somebody told me tonight he had a tie back there with three ships on him. That's the Nina, the Pina, the Santa Maria. I don't know that that's true. I just been told that. But if it was true or is true, it would be just perfect for those three ships to come over to Canaan land and find the new world. Hallelujah. There is a new earth. Brother Child's coming up out of the grave and coming up out of the ground over here in Memphis. What is it? Out of Egypt I've called my son. Out of Egypt I've called my son. Memphis down in Egypt. What does that mean? It has to do with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why is that? Because my brother's name is Aaron. My brother's name being Aaron, Aaron was the high priest. And the Bible said Jesus was the first fruits of them that slept. Isn't that right? So then if the first fruits is holy, then the rest is holy. Strangely enough, the health department made the statement, said, we'll tell you one thing. Said, if he did not have a disease, we died. Said, if he died without a disease, that is anything contagious, you know. Said, then we can bring him right back up. And I thought that's wonderful, you know. Can't get a dead man up until you go to the judge. And the judge on high says, let him be resurrected. Can't get him up till you overcome the law, because sin and death come to the law and the law holds him there. But if you can find out that everything's all right, health is good, then just bypass the law. Hallelujah. And bring him back up. I said a lot of times that sickness is a type of sin. So then the health department says if there's no sin, we would say, then there can be a resurrection. But if you're contaminated with evil, God will never let you out of that grave. Hallelujah. If the first lump is holy, all of it's holy. Isn't that right? So then, how wonderful that this very day, which is Wednesday, I said everything would start transpiring concerning my brother in the middle of the week, if I understood right. A lawyer said 2 weeks before they do anything. But I noticed that this very day, according to my words, that the health department said he will be brought out of the ground. Just like the Lord said. Now, what a grand thing this is. If his being resurrected from the dead in the type, in that in the vision, I resurrected him from the dead in the vision. Now, I also at that time resurrected Kennedy from the dead. I couldn't figure out why I done it, but I did in the vision. Now, I brought it out the other night. I want you to see this now. I brought it out the other night. What was taking place? Now, how are you willing to listen for a few minutes? All right, now, the other night I was preaching, and while I was preaching, I picked up my handkerchief and I just throwed it over like that. How do you remember that? The Lord spoke to me, and the Lord told me that that handkerchief had to do with the resurrection of my brother in what he had showed me, coming out of the grave. You understand what I'm saying? All right, now, he said that handkerchief that Brother Branham prayed over when he come out of the Kentucky wilderness. And Brother JT has to do that, been here tonight. When he come out of the Kentucky wilderness, he prayed over a handkerchief that I'd taken out of my hip pocket. You follow me? He prayed over it, and then he said, thy brother shall live. But my brother died. I had enough confidence in the man of God that I told him over the telephone as I talked with him, I said, death has nothing to do with it. I said, you said he'd live? All you've got to do is just come here and make me to know it, and God will resurrect him from the dead. But he just turned and told me, he said, Brother Pike, he said, well, it could be worse, you know. It could be that he would be a cripple all of his life and have to be put in a wheelchair. So our conversation went on. And we were enjoying the conversation. And while we was talking, Brother Branham was in a big way talking. And while we was talking, I said, well, there's one thing about it, brother. I believe in your ministry, regardless to what has happened. I still believe in your ministry. As a matter of fact, if I would ask anything, it would be a double portion of what God has given you. Now, when this handkerchief was prayed over that went to my brother Charles, when the handkerchief was prayed over, I was at the Methodist Church. Now, I want you to see this. The Methodist Church represented the tabernacle in Jeffersonville, Indiana. When Brother Branham saw the tabernacle people, he said it was Mrs. Methodist. I had made the statement, I said the tabernacle in Jeffersonville shows the Methodist people. That's why it had a Methodist preacher. That's why God put Brother Neville there. And another thing is, out of Methodism comes Pentecost. How do you know that John Wesley got it started? So then out of that comes the move of God. So then following along, it went just exactly perfect. Even Brother David Terrell, when he had the vision, when God raised him up and took Alan off the scene. Are you going to listen for a few minutes? When he raised him up, Brother Terrell made the statements that I saw a vision, and in this vision I saw Brother Branham go away on a long fast. Said a voice said for me to go away on a long fast. Said we both went off on a long fast. Brother Terrell said, but I return. But Brother Branham did not return. Then he said he looked, and with Brother William Branham, he said that there was a lot of birds, white birds, beautiful birds. But he said they were full of spots. You understand what I'm saying? They were full of spots. Said they were beautiful white birds, but they were full of spots. They were full of spots, but they were beautiful white birds. And said God was sending them over from Brother Branham over to him. And he didn't say him. He said to the revelation of Jesus Christ to be made perfect. I had had the vision, and in the vision I saw Brother David Terrell, and I told you how that Brother Terrell came up, how that he stole my wife in the vision. The vision was very decent now. Everything was holy. But he stole my wife in the vision against her will. Come on, folks. That's what the vision showed. And I went into the vision. I'd been working, tired. I went home. I was troubled. I said, Lord, speak to me. I went into a vision. I said, God, I am in a vision. It was in the middle of the day. I said, Lord, you've got me in a vision. What are you trying to show me? I'm in a vision. So then I began to look, and I saw these things. And then I began to walk and search and began to look as I began to walk and search. Finally, I found out where he was. We'll just bring it short here to get the point over. I found out where he was. Now listen. When I found out where he was at a big place having a meeting. Somebody said, if you'll go over there, he'll let you preach. I said, I'm not interested in preaching over there, that big crowd. I want my wife. I went over there and I looked, and I saw my wife through a window. And she was watching me. And I saw Brother Terrell walking, holding the hand of two little children. And I saw Brother Terrell's wife. And Brother Terrell's wife came over to where I was and she saw me. And when Brother Terrell's wife saw me, she come up and she got close to me like this. And I said, "Now, Lord, I want to be careful not to touch this woman. She's another man's wife. But I beckoned for her to come. God impressed me to do that. That I might provoke my wife to jealousy by calling his wife after what he had done." Are you listening? All right, let's see what comes out of it. So then, she came over. But the only thing was that she liked me too well when she got over. Now, when she got close by, she was dipping snuff. She's what the world calls a beautiful woman, but she was dipping snuff. Now, all right, let's see this, what we get out of it. And I stood there, and my wife looked through the window, and that would be just exactly the way she'd be. She looked through the window, and she began to bawl. I mean, she was getting madder by the minutes. That woman got close to me. I knew it would provoke her to jealousy, and she really began to get upset. Brother Terrell was walking along, and I said to his wife, I said, "Brother Terrell's walking out there." I said, "He's not even paying any attention to me." She said, "Well, he's like that." Said, "He'll act like he's not even noticing you." But said, "All of a sudden, he'll have a temper and turn on you." Well, Brother Terrell will do that. Brother Terrell's very temperamental. Sure enough, he's walking along with those little children, and all of a sudden, the temper came on him. He turned and came right up to me. When he did, I pointed my finger just like that, right there. And I said, "Brother Terrell," I said, "God gave you a ministry." I said, "And that ministry was a ministry of healing and divine deliverance." I said, "But you wasn't satisfied with that." I said, "You took my wife." And God said to me in the vision, said, "Your wife is your ministry." And I come, when I finished telling him that, he just stood there like he was froze. Then I turned to God and I said, "God, the vision is finished. I told him what you told me to tell him." I said, "Now I'm going to walk out of this vision." I started the walking, and as I walked, I had my little David by my hand. I walked and I walked out of the vision and I was back in my room. Now, I told the brethren, I said, "Brethren, as I live before God, the Lord spoke to me concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ, but Brother Terrell will make a move and come out and say that God has given him the revelation of Jesus Christ." I said, "He will also dovetail Brother Branham's ministry out." "Even though you don't believe it," I said, "he'll do it." Brother Terrell did exactly that. When he come to Atlanta, Georgia, I said, "This is the time." When he come to Atlanta, Georgia, Brother Terrell did exactly that. He published the magazine. I believe it's still down at the house. And in this magazine, he said, "God has given me the revelation of Jesus Christ." And God said that it would take the revelation of Jesus Christ to get the spots off of those birds. Come on. Somebody say, "Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell me that people come from William Burns' ministry that had spots on them?" I certainly do mean to tell you. Somebody say, "Now wait just a minute. What if he was alive? Would you say that?" I certainly would. Sure. Now, not only would I say that, but he'd say, "Brother Pike, you're so right. Don't you remember my vision when I said Mrs. Methodist with spots all over?" Come on, folks. She was right, but she had spots on her. Isn't that right? Why? Because the revelation of Christ is the only thing that can move it. You can work miracles, discernment, have gifts, do all that you want to. But, brother, it's going to take the mind of Christ in the church to transformate and to bring her into this wonderful thing. That's why Paul the Apostle said that God gave him the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's why John the Revelator said God gave him the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because that's what it is, the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It is the coming of the Christ. Somebody don't believe that, but it is. It's not another. It is the coming of the Christ. Now somebody said, "Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that you know?" I don't mean to tell you nothing. I'm just a helper of your faith. That's right. I'm like a little old caddy boy. just going across the field ain't doing nothing. I'm talking about Christ, not Brother Pike. I know people a lot of times praise preachers, and that's all right. They praise Brother Pike, they praise Brother Roberts, they praise others. There ain't nothing wrong with that. I know we got a bunch of hypocrite preachers that come around and try to saw you in two, you know, because you ain't praising them. But I said before, I never heard one of them complain when somebody praised them. It's always complain when they're praising somebody else. They'll say you are Antichrist, you ought not do that. That's a lie. The Bible said, let another's lips praise you. God ordains that praise. Somebody said, where do you get that? The Bible said concerning Joseph, from thence is the stone. Isn't that right? Judah is the one that the brethren shall praise. Come on, folks. You feel good? So then it came down. I also said that Brother David Terrell would dovetail the thing of Brother Branham out. I want you to see the similarity. Here was Brother William Branham. Brother Branham baptized in the Ohio River. The voice came on Utica Pike. There came a voice that said concerning the pillar fire, that as John 4 on the first coming, so shall you take the message for the second. Is that right? What was that? It was the same ministry of John the Baptist. Because John said, behold the Lamb. What did Brother Terrell do? When Brother Terrell came on the scene, Brother Terrell said he was fasting and praying. And God said, behold the Lamb. The same identical ministry. Brother Terrell said, Brother Branham went away and did not come back, but he came back and he declared himself to be the seventh angel. Is that right? He published the magazines and said that he was the seventh angel. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. I'm not in a contest with you to prove it. I'm just telling you what God told me and what he testified to. That proved that it was exactly the way God told me. How do you understand what I'm saying? I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? And the Bible said as Peter preached to him, the Holy Ghost fell on him. I didn't felt him fall. All right, now. I said that to say this. If Brother Terrell claimed it, it went off just exactly the way we said. You love the Lord? Have you got time to listen if I drop in a few things? See, I start dropping in a few things, you know, when the mind of God opens up, I start, you know, all the limbs running out, and then I start putting them back to the trunk, and if I'm not careful, I'll get, you're not here in the middle of it, and I can't get over there and end it to where you can understand. But you're going to try to stay with me? Look at Brother Delmer Baldwin. There's another example. First of all, Brother Taylor and I made the 6,000-mile trip. Isn't that right? Got at the Rockies and spent the night. Told about the tornado that was a strike. Said that judgment will strike the earth. Isn't that right? So I said, Brother Branham said that. That wasn't what Brother Branham said. Some of you don't even know the books. I just sat back and hear y'all talking about what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham, I just act ignorant, you know, like I don't know nothing about it. And I see you don't even know what you're talking about. When Brother Branham spoke and the crash sounded and those things took place, he said, now judgment shall begin to strike the West Coast. But I made the statement, I said, judgment will begin to come down upon the world and strike the entire earth. It started when I saw that vision there at the Rockies. They picked up more storms or tornadoes than they'd ever recorded like that. 60 at one time was picked up. Never had a surge like it. It hit here, it hit Kentucky, it hit all over the nation. I spoke of the drought where I saw the drought come in. I said it was so horrible. I said for days I wouldn't even tell my own wife. And I saw the land turn into powder. And I spoke of it coming. And we've read a number of papers to you where they said, even the article stated, said the earth is turned into powder. And even the European picture that I brought the other night where the girl is sitting on top of the reservoir, there where they hold their water, and even the place where the water stays has got so bad it's cracked open in huge cracks. And they said, it looks like there's no end to it. Striking. That has a great spiritual significance. Now, I said that to get on with some things here. What was it, that 6,000-mile trip we made? I said the crisis that struck, I told her the vision. I said I saw the vision and something happened to the traffic. I said they got the traffic all confused and it was a terrible rigmarole among the traffic. And sure enough, here comes that president, and he said, we're going to pull her down to 55. And the first news you know, truck drivers were shooting at each other, and people was having a terrible time, and confusion was everywhere. Then I said, I saw another vision. And I said, in this vision, I saw somebody with some long dresses on. Hallelujah. Brother Branham, like Moses, went up. He said, I saw that, speaking of the third pull, but he couldn't go in. Amen. God let him see it, but he didn't go in. Is that right? Somebody said, oh, that can't be. But it's 10 years later, and it is. 10 long years. That same man that said, if there is a tomorrow, there will be a message for tomorrow. I never heard of a message without a messenger, have you? Hallelujah. So then, something took place. Hallelujah. There, I saw this thing transpire. And when I looked, these people were standing over in a little place, and the crisis began to strike. And it was so bad that people was losing their big mansions. I told somebody that people was trying to sell. Even the big rich men were trying to get rid of their mansions. And brother, when that crisis struck, they said men worth millions of dollars lost their Cadillacs. Come on. Big companies folded up. Great organizations. And people begin to take the attitude, we are ruined. And the bankers begin to whine. I said, that ain't it at all. I said, she'll go down just like this, and she'll come right up just like a ship coming up out of the water. I said, it'll be just a little spell. And I said, it will happen when we go over to Athens, Georgia to have the meeting. You remember the meeting when God had it close enough for our people to go, and others, when it was all outside, sitting on the outside, couldn't get in the church, was had all the little rooms filled up and the little auditorium filled up and sitting all outside. Isn't that right? I said, after this meeting, it will start back up. Did it do it? It did it. Then I said, now, brethren, this year you can look for prosperity. Is that right? Has it been prosperous? Not only has it been prosperous, but they published an article the other day that said everything looked good. Plenty of money, plenty of work. Thousands of people will be employed. All right, now, what is it? When we made that 6,000 mile tour, we came down to Del Rio. We were staying there in the Best Western. When I looked up in a vision that night, I saw great horsemen riding through the air. There was a great group of horsemen riding through the air. And I saw one bull-looking leader that sat on the front. And he was a bull fella, almost like a brazen face. He just didn't move. It startled me because he was so bold. He, no reflex, just moving like that. I looked down. Things had turned into powder. A great whirlwind hit. And I saw a broom come down out of heaven, and I saw the dust roll up like that, and that broom swept the earth. Now, when it did, I was just in a dusty area out the edge of town. It happened just exactly the way that we saw it. There it was. When I saw that, I looked up, and this is what I cried. I said, my Father, my Father. You know, the Bible said, my Father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And when I did, the spirit of Elijah came down upon me in the vision. And the broom came from heaven and swept the earth. And the whirlwind started. Elijah said, as I live, saith the Lord, there shall not be water. And the drought set in. The tribulation period, that 36 months the Bible speaks of, but there was dust, there was the whirlwind, that same place that we was, I want you to see this, that same identical place that we was at, Brother Dilmer came later and set his tent on the same spot. As far as I know, God knows. As far as I know, he never knew nothing about the spot where that happened. But he set his tent on it. We came back from Old Mexico after the vision. We sat down upon that particular spot. There sat the Lincoln that we gave Brother Delmer. There sat the Oldsmobile sitting there, just like Brother Jimmy Kurtz has to do with the church. Brother Taylor sitting there. He had trailed me for 6,000 miles. He'd been on my heels. I want you to see how God works in time. There he was. We came out, sat down on the lot. While we were sitting there, I was looking at a trailer that had some cars on it. You know, like they haul these cars piggyback. And the trailer, the cars, some of them was law cars and had been wrecked. I found out they'd been wrecked over at the Amistad Dam, which had to do with the Revelation, the crossing, the connection between Mexico and America. But anyways, I sat there watching it. I never realized that right there in that place that they had a meeting coming up concerning the law and that the great dignitaries was to come. Don't you see that? So I sat there waiting for God to speak to me. All of a sudden, out of heaven dropped a red whirly bird. Right down out of heaven, right down next to the car. And the place was so dusty, not a bit of grass, that when it dropped down, the whirly bird made a great whirlwind and was completely wrapped up in the dust. Is that right, Brother Taylor? At the very minute that it took place, Brother Taylor had told Sister Linda, said, I want you to find that scripture that Brother Pike spoke in the vision last night. Just as the whirly bird dropped down, Sister Linda had opened the Bible and began to read, my father, the chariots of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and the dignitaries of the law came down. We came on back here. We had, went on up to where Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, you know, where she was born out there, and I was reading something about Billy the Kid on a little plaque there. Brother Taylor, he got lost. That was just right, because when we got here, then he caught up with us again. I stood here and you saw the tornado come when we walked out there on the porch. The Bible said when the temple of God was built, the Spirit of God filled the temple and the post moved. When I got this building built, I had seen this vision at the Rockies, which has to do with the Great Divide. That great tornado come and God had me hold up my hand and I said, Lord, you promised me the life of my children. And he spared them, though there was a terrible wreckage. When I stepped out there on this porch and I looked, here come that great tornado, and I screamed at the brethren in the throat of my hands. We began to pray and that thing said, shoo. And when it did, this post went out. And that post went out just like he took match stems and flipped them. Everything trembled. But she lifted and she went over. And our neighbor that had such a great farm, chicken farm, a turkey farm, I believe it was, had a building, I don't know how many feet, probably 200 or 300 feet long or more. He had been mocking us over here. Brother, when that tornado went over, she come down. When she come down, she cleared the way. She took everything he had. He sent word over here. Said, the next time something happens, you tell that preacher to hold up his hand till it gets over my place. All the criticism was shook out of him. The man came over from Athens that owns the two radio stations and said, preacher, it's astounding what you said. And he put it over the radio. He was out here doing the tornado. Now, listen, folks. That was a change. When those tornadoes hit, everything began to hit. Droughts, epidemics, bugs coming from somewhere biting the children. epidemics till Ford was wanting to give everybody a shot. Read the paper where they said even the black plague that hit so many years ago in the dark ages struck. Everything was striking, turmoil and trouble, and more yet to come. Now, I made the statement. I said when we come back from Washington, everything's going to take a change. Brother, it's done it. The elements have taken a change. The drought is set in. The church has taken a change. Everything has gone through a change. But this I saw. I want you to say it with me now. Just give me a little time. Brother Baldwin had to do with Brother Terrell. Brother Terrell was Brother Baldwin's favorite preacher because he picked up from A.A. Allen, and A.A. Allen was Brother Delma's favorite preacher till the things happened like they did. Now, I want you to see this. How many of you know that Israel had a king, Judah had a king, and Israel had a king? Is that right? That's why you see a great man raised up carrying the denominations, and then another man raised up that's carrying the true elect. Always that way. Because Israel, when you find Judah, she's always a few. One but two tribes. But when you find Israel, you find A.A.L. and Earl Roberts. Find the Trinity. Find the Aaron. Find the ones that won't go up to the place ordained to make the sacrifice. Is that right? You say, what place is that? Baptism in Jesus' name. He won't do it. He'll go anyway, but he won't come to Jesus' name. That's Israel. Always been that way. The lost tribe. She's lost. She don't know where she's going. It's the woman in the veil. How many understand what I'm saying? I wish I had about 2 weeks so I could finish this sermon. But anyway, God, when A. Allen was through, God raised up David Terrell. The thing had a dovetail out. So it did. So then, Brother Baldwin, I want you to see this. Brother Calvin Baldwin that stayed with Brother Terrell, leaning toward the women preachers. He's a good man, but he leaned toward the women preachers. Stayed with Brother Terrell. A lot of people say that Brother Delmer stayed with the woman preacher. And I know that he allows for different things. But he swore to me. He said, Brother Pike, it is a lie. I don't believe in women preachers. Now, whether he does or whether he don't, the thing is to fulfill the type he gave his word. That's the main thing. God holds him to his word. All right, now, Brother Baldwin, Calvin Baldwin, Brother Delmer Baldwin, they are cousins. You follow me? They are cousins. Brother Calvin and Brother Delmer. There's one fellow here, he's really disgusted because he can't be the preeminence in the show. But all the rest of them are paying plenty of attention. Now, so then, Brother Delma, Brother Calvin, these two people, cousins. You follow me? Brother Terrell having to do with John the Baptist. You see it? Brother Terrell gave Brother Calvin Baldwin his old tent. The Law and the Prophets. Gave him his old tent, and Calvin went that away. But one baptized the other because the other represented the virgin ministry, which was the birth of the man child. Will you stay with me a while? Will you be spiritual? All right. What did Brother Baldwin get? He turned against Brother Terrell. Why? Because Brother Terrell said he was cut off. Something happened. God let it happen. It hurt Delma so bad, he turned slap around. But God gave him a ministry. And God raised him up. And what did God give him? Not a worn out tent, but a virgin tent. A tent that never been set on the ground. God gave it to him. Lock, stock, and barrel. Why? It was to be a virgin ministry. And so then God gave him a virgin tent. And that tent he took and set just exactly on the spot where the voice said, my father, and the horsemen thereof. Brother Terrell, representing the old, going out, breaching it over to the cousin. When he set the tent, and the spirit of Elijah came back upon the church, what was the spirit of Elijah? It was the spirit of Elisha. When it came back, it was not the spirit of Elijah anymore. It was the spirit of Elisha in a double portion. Same God, one spirit, many operations. So then it came back for the next move. I want you to see this. The other night, I picked that handkerchief up. I throwed it over like that, children of God. When I did, Brother Frank Taylor reached for it. Brother Taylor got it and folded it up. I watched when I throwed it over. I didn't know that anybody would see it. Watching to see if anybody's watching the spirit. He folded it up. He laid it down. Brother Floyd Owen saw him lay it down. And Floyd has been with me long enough that he watches, and when he sees something spiritual, he's going to get it if there's any way to get it. And just as quick as Brother Taylor got his eyes off that handkerchief, up went Brother Floyd and he got that handkerchief. Now somebody said, now, well, what's that got to do with it? Everything. Just watch and see if it has. Brother Branham said, here's the handkerchief. The handkerchief, what? That was lost. My brother died. But God said the handkerchief is found. Brother Floyd Owens got it. And he's the one that's gone to unearth my brother. My brother shall live. That's what the prophet said. Same handkerchief going over there. Somebody said coincident. Hallelujah, coincident, coma. Amen. We've got more than a coincidence. We've got coincidences. Hallelujah. Not coincidence, brother, but divine providence of God. He took it over there. Why? To bring about the resurrection. Why? Because I was at the Methodist church. That Methodist church, which was the first move, Brother Branham coming out of the wilderness, said, when I come the next time, Brother Pike, I'll come by your place. That Jordan River, which was a Mississippi in its time, when it come right down to the Mississippi River, that was where the mantle came over. Judge it any way you want to. I said, you just watch, they'll land on the moon. And though Brother Branham said, I believe with all my heart they won't, they did. Amen. That's what he said. But I said, they will do it. Because the Bible said, though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. Isn't that right? When they went up there, they set that little thing up there called the nest. That's what they did. Now then, you understand what I'm saying? A lot of people thought that was Babylon going up the Tower of Babel, and in that they never did get to build Babel all the way to the heaven, that it was torn down. They judged it that way, and they missed it. That's right. But brother, let me tell you, the Tower of Babel is here in Atlanta, Georgia. He's fixing to go up now. If you want to see God, see what he does to it, just wait on that a little bit. You'll find out where it's at. Now, so then, this thing was transpiring. Every step of it, God making it just exactly right. Even to what happened in the tabernacle of God when Bill Padares shot his wife. You remember what I said? I said before that ever happened, I said the tabernacle of God represents a certain thing, and in that tabernacle, you watch and see, it will go to Leon. Just before the papers published that Bill Padares had shot his wife, they turned it over to Leon, made him pastor. I said, Brother Homer Brown will leave that place. Just watch and see. He'll leave right away. Did he do it? I said, Billy Paul and his mother will leave the desert and go back to Jeffersonville, Indiana. Did they do it? moved over there, even moved the spoken word. I said, and when he do, that will be the end of the move concerning Brother Branham and the message. It will be the changeover, and God will do his new thing. It's happened exactly that way. That's why the Brother Branham followers up here the other day, I said, those followers, those that are the children of that message, will come over to this move of God and recognize it and go into Canaan. They will go over the Jordan, over the carnal mind. But I said the elders won't do it. You know why the elders won't do it? It's just like when you have a war, that general over yonder that fights that war, he can come over here and take over, and the people will submit themselves to him. Might be some rebellious, but they will submit, and the government will go on. But them leaders can't make themselves submit because they know it's a death penalty because they've been fighting against the army. You follow me? So them elders die in the wilderness. How do you see that? See, here comes Pharaoh and his army. The Red Sea. What was the Red Sea? Typifying the bloodstream, the red dragon. Isn't that right? Life within the veil of the first birth. When Pharaoh got down to the Red Sea, it typified hell because fire and blood is the same. That was the soul part of it, swallowed up. Isn't that right? And then when the elders got in the wilderness, what was it? Elders are people who die. When you get old, you die. And so then the wilderness was the grave. But those youth that represented life, what did they do? They went into paradise, which was Canaan land. Body, soul, and spirit. It's exactly the way the Bible teaches it. Listen now, I'm going to try to close in a few minutes because I'm just getting started on about a 2-week sermon. So I'm going to try to close here. It really would take me 2 weeks. That's right. I preach it night and day, and then I don't feel like I'll be through then. But now I want you to just get a few thoughts here, and I'm going to try to close. Just stick with me just a little longer. Hallelujah. Look at America. 200 years of government, folks. Where is she standing? Today, is it the woman with the stars over her head like Revelation? America, the woman, 12 stars over her head? No, 13. Why? Because one of them is the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. One of them represents Paul, the 13th apostle. Somebody said Paul made up the 12. That's not true. The Bible don't teach that. Prove it to me in the Bible. The Bible positively shows that Paul was the 13th apostle. That's right. Check it out. You'll find out it's exactly right. He himself was another apostle. And what was that apostle? He was the chief cornerstone. That was the 12 for the foundation of the city. Come on. Come on. What was it? Somebody said one of his name will be in those 12 foundations. I'll tell you what, it goes further than that. He had the revelation they call the light of the city. Amen. You know why he was different from the rest? Because he said, God has chosen me to reveal Christ in my life. It was Christ himself. The revelation coming forth. Now, so what was the difference? The woman, 13 colonies, isn't that right? Now, over there in the book of Revelation, she had 12 stars. What was that? That was the crown of life. The teaching of the 12 apostles. What is life? Word and spirit. The message of the 12. In the book of Revelation, she had that crown of life on her head. But the Bible says she was standing on the moon. What is the moon? The law. Which is the lesser light, the light within the veil. Is that right? The moon reflects the sun. But this lady, the elect lady, she was clothed with the sun. The glory of God showing forth. Is that right, folks? What was it? It was her glorification. What was she representing? America. I brought it out, the footprints on the moon. Is that right? And the red dragon, who was it? Communist China. Dragon nation. The red dragon laying there. Communist shooting at the moon. The Russians up there too. Laying in there around the moon waiting to devour that man child. Who? The ruler? Get ready. Amen. You say, what do you mean? Just keep your eyes on Jimmy Carter because something's fixing to come forth. Just watch and see. Somebody said, what do you mean? Don't you remember the paper the other day when they put little Jimmy Carter in a diaper and put the man child by him? Something's coming forth. Are you listening? Show them what was it. Communists waiting to devour. That was only an antitype because there's a church and there's a real spiritual child coming. But as in heaven, so on earth. Isn't that right? Has to be down here up there. That's the only way we can see it. So then, when the veil is moved, then we see what Christ is doing. Like the vision I had when I said, you see them things happening in heaven up there. I believe some of you are beginning to see them. How do you know the mind of Christ is heaven? Jesus said, I was in heaven, I am in heaven. I've chosen you out of the earth, you're not of the earth. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. How do you know that you're not of this world, but you're in heaven with God? How do you know that? So then we're made to sit together where? In heavenly places, isn't that right? So then we see these beautiful things take place. Just give me a little longer and I'm going to close. So then, what is it? 200 years of government gone. What happens? 200 years of government gone. History shows it. No government ever stood over 200 years. She's done changed the monarch. Come in. Here comes the queen claiming her throne. You see it? In other words, the way the thing is happening, the 200 years gone, what is it? Is it the elect lady standing in the sun? No, that's not what it is. They took a rattlesnake and put it on the flag. They said, don't tread on us. Put the buttons on there instead of stars. Put buttons. You follow me? How do you understand what I'm saying? What is it? It shows that the serpent, the beast, the excommunication of Satan this very day is to be cast out. Why? Why is he to be cast out? I said this a few days back. How in the world did he ever get in to start with? How God shook him out of heaven, made him the ruler of the darkness, and then when God came in the darkness and created the garden, he was found there because he'd been the ruler of the darkness and caused God trouble again. But how did he get in? He got in through grace. Reign on the unjust. He lives in the unjust. Isn't that right? He sits in the temple of God, which is the human body, showing himself that he's God. That reign comes on the unjust. And that reign, that grace, is the second heaven. Somebody said, I don't believe it, but it is. Law is first heaven, grace is second heaven, and righteousness is third heaven. That's right. So he got in the second heaven because he went up in the presence of God in the days of Job, didn't he? He climbed up into the upper lintel. The serpent has climbed up in the upper lintel. He got in through grace. Is that right? He can walk around. Through grace, he can have a new car. He can have plenty of food. He can handle this thing. Being the prince of the powers of the air, the children of disobedience are taken into captivity at the will of the devil. So he handles the thing like he wants to. Isn't that right? But if he got in through grace, and the blood was spilled, grace allowed him to come in. Now, if he got in through grace, how is he going out? The same way. When grace is over, all of them bodies that's felt the rain on the unjust won't never feel it no more. The devil that lives in those temples will be defiled, and the waters of heaven will be cut off. Like that back there I said in the days of Noah, when in the garden they watered themselves from within and then God had to start watering them from above because they cut that water off from within. Then God had to wait till the second man, Adam, come to set that thing back up. And then he said there shall be a fountain open in the house of David. And when that fountain is open in the house of David, then the heavens will withhold a rain. For Elijah said, as I live, saith the Lord, there shall not be rain according to my words. What? 3.5 years and the water held back, but the fountain was open in the house of David, and God takes those Jews away and tutors them. Isn't that right? Well, the Bible said the woman was in heavy travail, in heavy stress. You understand what I'm saying? The earth is groaning. In the wound of the earth there are dead people. She's groaning to bring forth her dead child. But she's got some living ones down there too. Hallelujah. That died in the faith. You understand? They're not dead, but they're sleeping. She's ready to bring forth her children. She's groaning. And so this woman, she was in great stress. Why was she in great stress? Because it showed Jesus at Calvary. What was it? It was the law. The law is the wilderness. Under the pressures of the law. She's in great stress. The law has her. She's pressing. She's struggling. She's in travail. It's got her under condemnation. She's trying to shake it off, trying to believe. Struggling in the pressures. And travail is upon her. But thanks be to God, one day Jesus hung at Calvary. And he rent the veil in twain. The law was folded up and laid away. Hallelujah. And today we're free from the law. Hallelujah. We don't have to travail no more. We don't remember our anguish because a man child's been born. A man child's been born. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, the very minute he was born, he was caught up to heaven. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. Like Brother Branham said, if you could be in this dimension that I'm in and see the thing that I'm seeing. Hallelujah. In the vision when I stood there between heaven and earth. And I stood there in the vision as the Lord Jesus Christ with my hands out saying, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And old Brother Al Gonzalez, the head of every one of them, stepped up there and was way up here. Others was following. You said, what does that mean, Brother Pine? Somebody said, you are making yourself the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't have a thing to do with it. He done it himself. He said, your bone of my bone and your flesh of my flesh. Father, make these one as we're one. Wherever a member is represented as Christ. So then you say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I mean this. I'm talking about, not about Brother Pike. Brother Pike's dead and buried. Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ that's living within me. And the life I now live, I live for the Son of God. That's the same way with you. You're not in the earth. You're up in heaven. You're a heavenly person. And brother, you better get out of the earth. If you ain't out there, you better hurry. Because the Bible said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, God casting out the red dragon. And he'll go about to persecute those that are in the carnal mind, which is the earth. Be in the spirit, for the spirit is heaven. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, there is so much to be said here. My, the further I go, the more I see. The more I see, the further I go. Hallelujah. I tell you what, you're a good audience tonight. You're listening. You're staying with me. And like Paul, I believe this could be one of them all-night sermons. But I tell you what, Paul had a lot to say. How many know that? He had a lot to say. But folks, I've helped you a long time here. I really have. Let me say just a few things, and I really mean this, just to kind of close it out here. America is gone. America is gone. That's right. When Icky Bob was wrote over the door, how do you remember that? The days of the Philistines. The woman went in travail and the child was born. What did they name him? Icky Bob. Icky Bob was wrote over the door. Isn't that right? Why? Because it said that the covenant has departed from Israel. Isn't that right? Couldn't stand it. Is that right? There when Eli fell off, broke his neck or was killed, and the woman went in travail and died. Ichabod, why was it? Because glory had departed. The glory of the Lord had departed. And folks, that drought coming in, when they took that flag and they lifted that flag up, that was the woman standing on the moon called Old Glory, and she went up and God set her down upon the moon. And then that next one that was to come, I spoke about that flag. You remember that flag? I spoke about it. And here that flag comes. And this time it's got a serpent on it. Why? Icky Bob over the door because old glory has departed. Amen. Been caught up in heaven. What does that mean? The church, the elect woman, caught up into heaven. Somebody said, well, I don't see where you went anywhere. I wish you had, because if you'd seen me when I went, you could have had something from God. Oh, hallelujah. God's doing a new thing. Brother Taylor sings he's bringing forth a man child. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, there's so much more to say. So much more. But anyway, there's going to be a change. My brother Charles coming over, folks, it's going to be a great thing. That's right. Being brought up out of the ground out of Egypt, I've called my son, which indicates that death is at last, she's been conquered. That's right, we could preach a sermon on it and show you just exactly how it's been conquered.
but she's been conquered. Now, if that is true, death, where's thy sting? Grave, where's thy victory? If the message has come, then the translation has taken place. How many believe the translation's already taken place? Come on. Oh, somebody said, no. Oh, but yes. Somebody said, I got you now. You're off the word. But the Bible said, God hath translated us into his marvelous kingdom. It's just a matter of you believing. Can you believe?
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, yeah, but. There ain't no buts about it. Somebody said, but now, Brother Pike, I believe that through Martin Luther was justified. And I believe through Wesley we were sanctified. But how many of you know that the Bible said God hath justified us, God has sanctified us, and the Bible said God hath... Got some Bible scholars. Can you say that again? Sure he has. Can you believe? Have whatever you want. That's right. It's already done. It's a matter of believing the word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's right. Justification by Luther. Sanctification by Wesley. But glorification by Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Let's stand together. Justification for the spirit in that season. Sanctification for the soul in that season. Glorification for the redemption of the body in this season. Is that right? The Lord is so good. So very good. Let's just sing a little bit of this chorus, can we? Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. It's the signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. Return, oh, disperse to your own. For the day of redemption, it's here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption. Can you sing it again? The day of redemption, it's here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. You believe that tonight? The time of the dead to be raised is here. 13 years in the ground. 13 years that my brother's been in the ground. 13 colonies, a bicentennial. Hallelujah. Brother Cantrell today, he went over with me as we made the call over to my brother. Now, as we made the call, it was so fitting. Brother Cantrell wanted to pay for the call. And there we was at a Gulf station at a telephone. But that had gone out of business. I said, that had gone out of business. You know, he looked across the great Gulf, but that had gone out of business. How many know the devil's gone out of business? He lost his franchise. There was Brother Cantrell. And I watched him as he went across the street. And you know where he went to? A 76 station. Hallelujah. He said he looked across a great Gulf. Came back and dropped in the money. We talked across that great Gulf. Hallelujah. Connections was made. And now we know that they're going to bring the dead up. You love the Lord? The coming of that body. And it will come. Coming of that body.
will denote the resurrection of the dead. Folks, I hope you're ready. I hope you're right. I hope you've been sincere, because it's closer now than it was yesterday. A lot closer now than it was yesterday. You love the Lord? When the day of grace is ended, no more can be saved among the Gentile people. And Satan can no more tempt you, because he can't be in the second heaven, which is grace. We don't have time to go into that, but he can't be in it. He's never got up into the third heaven. God won't let him defile that. But the second realm is where the woman was. Isn't that right? She was, you say, Brother Pike, what makes you think that she was in the second heaven? Because the Bible said, when the man child was born, is that right? Come on now. Just a minute or two now. When the man child was born, said he was caught up, there was some other place to go. Where was it? To the throne. See, the woman is in the second heaven, which is grace. She's in travail. Oh, somebody said, you don't mean this is heaven. I'll tell you, my brother, if you don't believe this is heaven, you wait till grace live. Just wait till it lifts and the tribulation starts. You'll see you've been in heaven. You better believe it's heaven. Even the law, as strict as it was, Christ walking among them, it was heaven. That's right. But that child was caught up to the third heaven. Isn't that right? But the woman went into the wilderness. Isn't that right? But it didn't say she left the second heaven. It said Satan was cast out, not the woman. But she still went into the wilderness, being in the second heaven. Is that right? A lot of explaining to do, but we can do it. And you say, well, what are you trying to tell us? I mean that Brother Branham was caught up. He sat on a throne. The people gathered unto him. And he said, but I want to see Jesus. Said, after a while, but he's a little high. See, that child was caught up in the third heaven. Brother Branham said, that third pull will do it. He knew it would do it. How do you know that? Moses had two pulls, Egypt, the wilderness. But old Brother Joshua took that third one. Come on. Moses didn't go into that third one, folks. Is that right? Somebody said, now why did Brother Branham? Because Moses saw it. Is that right? He spoke of it because he saw it. Said that latter rain will do it. It will do it. Somebody said, but what is that latter rain? You read about it tonight, Brother Pike. Well, let's see what the prophet said about it. Brother Branham said, the latter rain shall be a teaching rain. You feel like you've been taught tonight? The teaching rain. Not only will it reveal what has been, it will reveal what is and what shall be. It has to. It has to reveal everything. If it doesn't reveal everything, then it's not the ultimate of God. But if it does reveal everything, then it is God. It has to know who you are, where you're from, what your place in God is. It has to understand your physical condition, your mental condition. It has to understand every state, everybody, every person, everything. That's right. It's got to be able to tell what everything is. That's right. If it don't do it, it can't be it. Because the Bible said at the sounding of that last trump, the mysteries of God would be finished. It has to know the thunders. If it doesn't know the thunders, then it's not it. How do you believe that? John started to write those thunders. And the voice said, don't do that. They're sealed up. John, just seal them. What is a seal? A spirit. Where was they sealed up? In John's spirit. Why? Because John was the church. Sealed up within the spirit of the church. Isn't that right? So do you testify some more, John? A seal. Those thunders was hid away. Is that right? Sure, they were hid away. And John wanted to write them. But the Lord said, no. He said, just wait. But when the seventh trumpet begins to sound, said, then the mysteries will be finished. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together.
Somebody would say, Brother Pike, there's no way to know those thunders and stay down here. What you mean is there's no way to know those thunders and stay down there. Can you sing a song with me? I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me. Sing it, can you? Purchase my salvation on Calvary's tree. Okay. Now, we're going to take just a few minutes to dedicate a baby tonight. When the temple was built, the train of the Lord filled it, and the pillars moved. And then after that, the presence, the mind, anointing, the voice, and the revelation was in the temple. Is that right? How many know that you're that temple? And it would be fitting tonight that if we was right, that if July the 4th was the day of the independence, then there would have to be the end of the war. Come on, folks. David, you can't build it. Though you're a great man, Brother Branham, you got too much blood on your hand. A warrior. Said you can't build it. But I'll let your son do it. The war will be over. We'll have an independency. So then on July the 4th, little Solomon was born. Hallelujah. Why not? If the war's over, why not? Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't believe. Yes, I do. You mean you believe that the war's over? I sure do. I believe all the denominations is going to come together and they're going to have them a great charismatic time. Not only that, we predicted they'd all go Pentecost many years ago. And they're doing it. Said the Catholics would do it. They'd all speak in tongues. Somebody said, well, that means you got the Holy Ghost. No, we got the Holy Ghost. That's only a type of it. That's Babel. You understand what I'm saying? So they say, what do you mean by that? I mean the war is over. They're throwing down their crowns at Jimmy Carter's feet. Said we'll beat our plows or our swords into plowshares. And the song said, and we won't study war no more. Lay down my burdens down by the riverside. I won't study war anymore. And the Bible said in the days of Solomon that God gave peace. Isn't that right? There will come a peace, and though they cry peace, sudden destruction, but first there will be peace for the building of the house of the Lord. And so then the lively stones is coming together. One message. Oh, somebody said it'll never be, but it will be. Somebody said it wasn't the days of Brother Branham, but it wasn't. They warred against him in the days of David, and they fought against him. They didn't see eye to eye with him. Gathered a lot of gold, had a message, something could be used for building the house of God. David gathered the gold for it. How do you know that? But when Solomon came in, the age of peace came. If one man can make them throw down their crowns at his feet, then the wars will be over. And I said Kissinger would full run it. Don't you remember that? Getting them all together so that Antichrist could step in. So then this is real fitting tonight. Little Solomon being born. Strange part is the wife was a Kirk. And the word Kirk means church. Isn't that something? A little man child named Solomon on a day of independence. That's really a coincidence. How many agree that's a coincidence? And asking to be dedicated on the night of the middle of the week at the catching up. That is another coincidence. And I think one of the greatest coincidences was that Tommy's name being Cartridge means little book, so it could come in the volume of the book. He said, it's just written to me. That's another coincidence. That's wonderful, ain't it? A lot of coincidence around here. All right, we're going to pray and dedicate little Solomon. What was it? It had to be the gift of wisdom. That's all it could do it. Many gifts, but only one gift. Why was it the gift of wisdom and not the gift of discernment? Because God is not called discernment. He's called the Word. It has to be the mind because it's called the Word. God never gave gifts to save us. He gave gifts to fish with. One spirit, many operations, to get their attention. But it wasn't His desire to give us a gift. It was His desire that the mind that walked in Jesus Christ was so perfect, made that body so loving in the sight of God. It was God's plan to take that mind out of that body and put it in every human body to make every human body exactly what Jesus was. Isn't that right? When you got that, you got all the gifts. One spirit, many operations. A gift's just an operation. Bible said, pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Young men see visions. Have you ever seen a vision? Real and truly, have you ever seen a vision? Young men would see visions. Old men would dream dreams. Prophesy? Somebody said, prophecy will do it. That's good. But the Bible says your sons and daughters will prophesy. Isn't that right? All right. I'm going to pray for the little baby. Folks, you see these things happening. But remember what I'm telling you. When these things take place, then it's over. The natural type is over. But don't forget, you're moving from faith to faith. Faith cometh by the knowledge of the Word. And from that is glory to glory. And Paul said, glory will change you. There's a glory of one thing, a glory of another. From one faith, which is a measure of the Word, part to part, there is a glory. You'll get another revelational insight, you move to more glory, greater glory. And as it gets more and more, till the entire is leavened from the little lump that's been hid within the measure. So, I want you to see tonight, though I know that leavening is a type of sin, but I'm talking about the Word of God. I want you to see tonight that when these things are made known, that means that something is taking place in the Spirit. See, as in earth, so in heaven, a natural thing takes place. That means something took place in heaven. Now, you see the natural thing and then you forget it. But don't forget, that thing is still standing at the same place in the Spirit, the same place in heaven, and it's moving on from there. And if you don't see the move on, you're in trouble. If you don't have a watchman on the wall that can see it, you're in trouble. For the watchman is supposed to watch. That's right. And if he sees the enemy coming and he don't cry, the blood will be on his hands. Like somebody come to me today in consultation. They spoke of their pastor. And they said, we had a vision of our pastor. He's a great man. And they said they looked and he was standing there with blood dripping off of his hands. So you can have blood on your hands. So don't forget that when these natural things go over, we preach to you. It's not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father that's telling you what's happening in the Spirit. And then when that goes by, that thing has happened in heaven. You understand what I'm saying? Like Brother J.T. Parnell's vision when he saw Brother Branham in that vision. Probably J.T. remembers. When he dropped that rod and he saw that great thing take place in heaven in the vision. And he took the rod and gave it back to Brother Branham. And sure enough, Brother Branham took a great fall and was off the field for a number of years. And Brother J.T. told him in the Branham Tabernacle, the William Branham Tabernacle, about the vision. And God raised the man back up, put him back out on the field, and he went right on. At the time of that Brother Edmund Way, I believe it was, his death, something's happening. Can you understand? With wisdom, get understanding. Solomon prayed, Father, give me a heart of understanding. I
How many glad you're here? We're going to pray for the baby, dedicate the little lad. And I want you to believe with us. I notice that this is Michael's first night of the drums, isn't it, Mike? All right, let's just pray. Father of heaven, Lord, as we come to thee tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus, standing before us, Lord, we see the woman, Lord, that represents the church. Lord, call Kirk. We see the man called Cartridge that represents the little book. That means little book. And we see the little book in the church having wedded. And we see a man child born, Lord, that was to build the temple of God and bring about peace. And Father, though in all of the ages it was stated that never did you have a place to stay, never. But Solomon said, Father, though the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee, and we know that, Lord, there is no place in the earth that can contain thee. But Lord, we have built for thee a temple. We have built for thee a home. We have built for thee a place where the Ark of the Covenant can be, according to Brother J.T. Parnell's vision of the new thing that was to be revealed. And dear God, we're thankful, even in the vision, Lord, that he had when he heard the voice of Brother Branham saying that it was so, and even according to what Brother Pike had said. And Lord, we know that we built a natural temple as a symbol, but Father, this revelation to build a spiritual temple, dear God, of lively stones. For as it is written, in the last days, saith God, I will return and build down the fallen house of David. And you said you'd place your name upon it. That is in the days of Daniel. Whosoever looketh upon that temple or in that direction would be healed. And Lord, that you would suddenly appear within your temple to be glorified within your saints. And all the world would kneel at your feet and know, O God, that you have loved us. Father, I dedicate this little child to thee, knowing the great symbol of it, in that my brother is coming up out of the earth. Lord, I pray you've given it unto these people, and they likewise give it back unto thee. Lord, may you be with it all the days of its life. Heavenly Father, whenever it's hungry, I ask you to feed it. Whenever it's in need of clothing, I ask you to clothe it. Father, when its enemies rises up against it, I ask thee, O God, to become an enemy to its enemies. And dear God, hold its hand when fears and complex come upon it. Move away the fears and give it peace. Stand with it. O God, in everything, may you bless it. May you keep it. May they bring it up in the nutrient and admonition of the Lord. Bless the family. Unite them together in the great loving name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen? All right, I want to sing one more little chorus. That was so beautiful this past Sunday. We said it had to do with Palm Sunday. Brother Denny from Arkansas, Palestine. Sister Betty remembers Palestine, the Texaco card. Brother Floyd took our Texaco card because that Texaco card had to do with Texas Company. And that at Utica Pike, when Sister Betty lost a purse, that was where it was lost. So it had to be the handkerchief that was lost went back to the Texaco loss. And there it was. It was lost. Something concerning Brother Branham, the lady said. And said it was found at Utica Pike. And so it was found at Utica Pike. In the meeting at the Glad Tidings Tabernacle, she said, this is it.
The loss was confirmed at the spoken word. You know how it goes. The black man and the white man, which was a law, and the black man confirmed it. The lost and the found, what was it? It was the resurrection and the life. He was lost at Calvary, but he was found within my heart. Like Sister Jacqueline said everybody was looking for what Brother Branham had lost. She said, but Brother Pike, in the vision, you had already found it. Have you believe you found it? Somebody come to me today and said that somebody had seen him in three different visions with the same anointing over his head that Brother Branham had over his head. Somebody would say, that can't be, but it can be. For the Bible said in the last days, how many of you believe this is the last days? I'll send you Elijah the prophet, isn't that right? The spirit of Elijah turned the hearts of the children back to the fathers, lest I smite it with a curse. You can have that anointing. You do have that anointing, because that anointing is the spirit of Jesus Christ, the same one that Elijah had, the same one that Moses had. That's what it is. Now your measure, I don't know what your measure is. It may not be as great as Brother Branham's measure, but it's still the same spirit. One spirit, many operations. So then, you want to give all the glory to Jesus, do you? That's where it belongs. Our desire is to lead you to Jesus. If you've never met Jesus, Brother Denny sings, I'll introduce my friend to you. I wasn't going to pray for the sick tonight. I had felt definitely led to pray for the sick tonight. And I said, I will, Lord. And then tonight, having been so long preaching, I said, Lord, surely you'll understand. I've kept the people so long that you'll understand if I just wait till tomorrow night. But he didn't. The sister has been sick. And though we prayed for her, yet she's been very sick. And she's wanting our prayer. So then God intended for us to pray for the sick tonight. How many of you can wait just a little longer? Just a little bit longer. We sang the song, Wait a Little Longer, Jesus. I like that song. Hallelujah. God is so wonderfully good. You that want to be prayed for, if you'll come on down, Brother Pike will take time and pray for you tonight. If you're willing to stay and you got the full bearance to stay here, then I'm willing to pray for you. If there's any others that have to leave, if you can't stay and you feel pressured and weary and worn out, I like for my services to be to let whosoever will. And I don't like to pressure you. And if you feel pressed, you can leave. And we won't feel bad at you. You've been very good in staying for the message. And if you want to leave, it's all right. I'm planning to stay with the Lord because they said there ain't no other place to go. Amen. The only place I can go if I leave here tonight is home. And the Bible said, be not hasty to go from the presence of God. I've said this so many times that Hezekiah called upon the name of the Lord, tarried a little while. And because he took a little time for God, God gave him 15 more years. Tonight you might take 5 minutes more for Jesus Christ. And in so doing, he may give you 15 years. You may take 5 minutes from him. He may take 10 years off of your life. You can't ever tell. But if you have to go or desire to go, Brother Pike loves you, and I don't feel bad at you because you've been a real good congregation. But I want to pray for these. And while we're praying, now I feel faith here tonight. And I want you to pray with me as we pray. Hallelujah. Father, Lord of heaven, as our sister stands here tonight, confident, Lord, that you'll do something in her life and in her heart. How wonderful, Jesus, that people believe. I'm trusting you tonight. Lord, as I lay my hands upon her head, Father, heal this body. Oh God, make it well. Encourage this faith. Father, as I lay my hands upon her, her spirit lets me know, Lord, that she's discouraged, Jesus, and despondent. Lord, in that Satan has dealt her a blow and she's disturbed. But God, you said you'd fulfill the number of our years. And oh God, you said a man's days shall be 70. Hallelujah. I believe, Jesus, as I stand again. Heal this body. Oh God, I feel you doing it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel your face. Fathers, I pray for Sister Ida tonight. Lord, you remember the days, Father, when she lived a saintly life. So clean and holy, I can remember her, Father. Such a great testimony as she went from home to home and from place to place. Hallelujah, I feel faith, God. Oh, God, tonight. Father, open the book of remembrance tonight. In the name of Jesus, as you thumb through the pages of Calvary, heal tonight. Break every yoke. Restore the joy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Fathers, I pray for Brother Willie tonight. I remember also, Lord, the great testimony of his life and how many people God has spoke of the inspiration of his life. Even my own dad, Father, I recall how that Brother Willie was such a terrific inspiration to him. How that he praised him in the Lord. And Father, I ask you to open the book of remembrance. You are not forgetful of our labor in the Lord. Heal this body. Lord, you said if we do wicked, we do evil, and we turn into righteousness, that all of our sins shall not be remembered, but in our righteousness we shall live. Father, heal this body. Restore the strength in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
Pray for him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight in the lovely name of your darling son, Jesus. Heal this little body, Jesus. Father, make it well tonight. Heal the sister. Oh God, encourage his heart. Heal in the name of Jesus. God, I'm expecting you to touch this life and this little baby in the name of Jesus. Father, touch your sister. Break the yoke. Hallelujah. Let the sunshine of God into this heart.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
Fathers, I pray for Vicky tonight. I pray for the healing of Christ. Lord, you said whoever we bless would be blessed. Whoever we curse would be cursed. Dear God, I ask for a blessing upon these people. Heal tonight in the name of Jesus. Fathers, I pray for your sister tonight. I pray for the divine deliverance that comes from Calvary. Father, heal tonight. Move by your spirit, Jesus, and heal in Jesus' name. Touch this little sister tonight. The wonderful name of Jesus. Touch these little children, Father. The wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus, touch them. Father, touch these babies. Jesus' name tonight. Fathers, I pray for Roger tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father. Heal this body. Give strength to this body. Help Roger to continue to mature in the things.